Everybody, this week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayikra, as we started to talk yesterday, discusses all of the details about offering karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Letzareinu Harav, as we know, we do not have a Beis HaMikdash today. And yesterday we spoke about the possibility of offering karbanos when we have a Beis HaMikdash in absentia. Today what I'd like to talk about is, because we know that we do not generally have that practice, because of all the obstacles that we mentioned yesterday, so we do not have the opportunity to offer actual karbanos in the Makom HaMikdash. The Gemara says in Menachos Daf Kuf Yud that we do still have the opportunity to substitute in other ways. So the Gemara tells us, Kala Osik B'Taras Chatas, Ki'ilu Hikriv Chatas. Anyone who involves themselves, anyone who engages in learning about all of the halachos that govern the karbanos, is considered as if you have actually offered the karban itself. And the Gemara continues, B'Kala Osik B'Taras Asham, Ki'ilu Hikriv Asham. The Gemara assumes this goes across the board for all karbanos. If you study, if you engage yourself in trying to understand what that particular karban is about and how it's supposed to be sacrificed in the Beis HaMikdash, it is considered as if you have brought it yourself. The Rambam himself writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos there, Ulufikach, and therefore, because we assume that by engaging in study of the karbanos, it is considered as if you have offered them, therefore, says the Rambam, Roy la'adam lasok b'inyanei ha-karbanos ulehisponein bahem. The Rambam says we should try our best to be involved as much as possible in these areas of halacha, although many of us might not find them practical, many of us might not find them relevant, but the Rambam says we should try. Va'al yomar, and do not say, says the Rambam, shehein dvarim shein lahem tzarech hayom kederach she'omrim harbe mibnei adam. Don't say that this is useless, it's irrelevant information, because what do you mean? We don't have karbanos, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Says the Rambam, you should go out of your way to try and study about the karbanos, because by doing so it is considered as if you have offered the karban itself. And this is why the Chafetz Chaim tried very much. Chafetz Chaim lived his whole life looking forward to Geula, to Beis HaMikdash, and Rav Kook and many other great tzaddikim of the last generation tried very hard to encourage the members of their generation to learn not only the practical aspects of the law, not only Aruch Chaim and Yerodeah, how to have a kosher kitchen, and how to get married, and how to do all the things that we do every day, but also how to make sure that we think about what life is going to be like when we have a Beis HaMikdash as well, because by doing so, by engaging in the study of Hakravas HaKarbanos, it is considered as if we have offered the Karbanos themselves. The Maharsha writes in his commentary on the Gemara that perhaps this is what it means when we say, Lule sarascha sha'ashuai, az avadati ba'anyi. So the simple understanding of that pasuk is, if not for the fact that I had the Torah that was supposed to give me joy throughout my life, even through the troubling times, az avadati ba'anyi, then I would have been lost. I would be so depressed because of all the terrible circumstances in my life, says David HaMelech. However, writes the Maharsha, maybe one can understand from this line as well. Lule sarascha sha'ashuai, if not for the fact that I had the opportunity to engage in the study of Torah, about those aspects of Torah that I cannot perform, az avadati ba'ani, it's such a long galus, and I don't have the opportunity to have a Beis HaMikdash and to offer an actual karban, says the Maharsha, the Torah is the one that stood for us, because as long as we still have the opportunity to engage in Torah study about those esoteric parts of Torah that we don't have the opportunity to fulfill, it is considered as if we have done them. So the Mabit writes in his Sefer Beis Elokim, is this something that is limited only to karbanos, or perhaps we extend this to other areas of halacha as well? Say, for example, I do not have the opportunity to keep Shabbos because I'm under the Russian oppression and they're not allowing me to keep Shabbos. So by studying the laws of Shabbos, is it considered as if I have kept Shabbos? Or, for example, if I cannot perform the mitzvah of Bris Milah because for whatever reason I'm under the rulership of a country that doesn't allow me to perform the mitzvah, by studying the laws of Bris Milah, is it considered as if I have performed that mitzvah as well? Writes the Mabit, yes, this goes for any mitzvah that one does not have the opportunity to perform for whatever reason it is. As long as you go out of your way to study the rules and the halachos that govern that particular mitzvah, it is considered as if you have fulfilled it, even though practically you have actually not done it. I saw a tremendous chiddush this week. I was looking through many different svarim about Pesach, and I saw something that is quoted in the name of the Sfas Emes. So the Sfas Emes has on Parshas Bo, he extends this concept even further, and he says, Kala osik b'toras hagalus, ki lo avar alav hagalus. The same thing applies not only with regard to keeping Shabbos. If you cannot keep it, you should study the laws. If you cannot offer a karban, you should study the laws of karbanos. But he says, on Pesach night, we all have the opportunity to be engaged in the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. to talk about the story of our people, of how we went through galus and how we survived. Says this Svasemis, perhaps one can extend this and tell God, Kala osik b'toras ha-galus, if you talk and you engage in the study of what life was like for our ancestors and all the terrible times, maybe that's considered kilu avar alav ha-galus. Maybe God should consider that as if I've been through it myself, and I shouldn't be punished for all the terrible things that I've done in my life, because by learning the halachos themselves and the stories and recounting all of the memories that we have as a collective memory, as a people, says the Svasemis, maybe that should count in our place of being punished as well. The Gemara Megillah also shares a similar sentiment. So the Gemara has a discussion that took place between the great Avram Avinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. So the Gemara tells us, Amar Avram Avinu Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram Avinu engages in conversation with God and he says the following, Ribbono Shel Olam, Shema Chas V'Shalom Yisrael Chotim Lefanecha. Maybe a time is going to come when the Jewish people are going to do things wrong and they're going to anger you. And unfortunately, that has happened over the many millennia. And Avraham Avinu says, maybe ataosa lahem kedar hamabul or kedar haflaga. Maybe you are going to respond by destroying, by annihilating them, by demolishing the Jewish people because you're going to be so angry at the way they're acting. Amalo, God says, lav, you don't have to be concerned. I'm never going to destroy them. The Jewish people will always be here and they will be Jewish continuity forever. Avraham Avinu is not satisfied, and he says, Amar lefanav, Ribbono Shel Olam, Bameh Eida, can you reassure me that you will never destroy them? Which is a strange question. If God promises you something, I would say you have a right to trust him. But Avraham Avinu says, I want reassurance. I want clarity on this issue. I want to know with certainty that the Jewish people are going to have eternal survival. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kechali Egla Mishuleshes, God says to him, that when you have the opportunity to say karbanos kalzman shekorim bahem mala ani aleim kiilu makriven lafanai karban umochel ani al kol avonosehem. The Gemara says even if we live at a time when we cannot offer karbanos because we do not have a Beis Hamikdash, and usually a karban was able to gain atonement for the Jewish people, says the Gemara, God assures us as long as we engage in the study of karbanos and we say all of the paragraphs from the Mishnayos and the Psukim and the Gemara about offering the Karbanos properly, the Gemara promises us that Mochel Ani Al Kol Avonoseihem. That would be considered a substitute for the Karban itself, and that is acceptable in God's eyes. Based on all of this, both the Gemara Maseches Megillah and the Gemara that we mentioned from Maseches Menachos, the Tur writes that when we start off our davening, this is the Tur in our Chaim Simen Aleph, the very first chapter of the Tur, he writes, Tov lomar toros ha-karbanos b'chol yom. So some of the minyanim daven very quickly, but we should make time, writes the Tur, to say some of the karbanos, even though we daven quickly, but we should either start earlier or say it after davening, to try and make time that we mention the karbanos every day in our davening. And not only to say the parshas ha-karbanos that we have in the beginning of the Siddur, but also, when you're done, you should say, Ribon ha-olamim, Yihi ratzom l'fanecha, may it be your will, sheyeheze chashuv u'mekuba l'fanecha, Kilu hikrafti ola bizmana, that we should ask God that this should be considered as if we have actually offered a carbon that we are obligated to bring for the terrible averus, for the terrible mistakes that we have made. It is well known that not only are the substitute for karbanos considered to be the learning, the study of karbanos, but also we know the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that our tefillah, every day the davening that we engage in, is also referred to as an avoda. As we know, the Mishnah says, Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed, ala Torah, ve'al ha'avoda, ve'al gemilas chasodim. Avoda there refers to the tefillah. The davening that we do every day is also in some way considered to be a substitute. It's considered to be in the place of the karbanos themselves. Why is that the case? So the Ramban writes on Chumash, on this week's Parsha, what is the etymology of the word karban? Where does it come from? How do you understand the word? How do you break it down? So he says, this is the Lashon of the Ramban, V'chol karban is lashon kreva v'achdus. What a karban means is a closeness, an intimacy, an affection, an attachment that we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kreva and achdus, says the Ramban, is what a karban is supposed to accomplish. It is supposed to make a person feel a sense of inseparability with God. That's why we bring karbanos. That is our connection to Him. And therefore, if you just follow that logic of the Ramban, that really is what tefillah is all about. We have the opportunity every day, so many times a day, to work on our connection with God and to reaffirm our commitment to Him so that He understands that we are interested in the relationship with Him. And that is why tefillah serves as in some way the supplement for the karbanos in a time like today when we do not have the opportunity to offer the karbanos themselves. Now, if that is true, many achronim have raised the following question. Every day in our davening, in our Shemona Esrei, we say, summing it all up, Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Ba'amcha Yisrael, we ask you to please find favor in our eyes and accept our tefillah. And what do we say? We say, V'yishei Yisrael U'sfilasam Be'ahavas Kabel Beratzon. We say, we ask that you please accept Yishei Yisrael, which means our karbanos, U'sfilasam, and our prayers. Well, the Achronim point out, isn't that repetitive? It's the same thing. Nowadays, we do not have the opportunity to offer a karban, and the prayer stands in the place of the karban. So what do we mean when we say in our davening, V'yishei Yisrael U'sfilasam Be'ahavas Kabel Beratzon, that you should accept both our tefillah and our karban that we offer? Which karban are we referring to? I would have said that we're referring to the tefillah, but we already said usfilah sam. So the Mishnah Berurah gives the answer, and the Torah writes the same thing, that perhaps what we're referring to here is a Gemara, Tosis writes in Maseches Zvachim Daf Kuf Yud, something about an altar that is a mizbeach shal eish in heaven. So the Gemara says that not only do we have a karban with a mizbeach and a beis hamikdash down here, but the Gemara seems to say that we also have that opportunity in heaven as well. And the Gemara tells us that Michael is designated, the Malach Michael is designated every day to be the one to offer karbanos on the altar in heaven. So what we ask God every day in our tefillah, which I would imagine most of us probably do not think of when we say these words, V'yishei Yisrael U'sfilasam, that we ask not only our tefillah, our prayer that we offer on our own, but also Yishei Yisrael, those offerings that are brought on behalf of the Jewish people by Michael up in heaven, we ask that you accept both of those and give a good reflection on the Jewish people as a result of both the tefillah that we offer and the karbanos that are offered even today on our behalf. As we mentioned, we substitute tefillah nowadays for karbanos. And this is all learned from the pasuk which we're told, Unishalma parim sifasena, which means, and it will be considered as if we are paying with cows. Parim means like animals. Sifasenu, our words will stand in the place of the animals that were once sacrificed in the times of the Beis Hamikdash. So the great Rabbi Tzila Balazhner, who was one of the preeminent students of Rabbi Chaim Balazhner, he lived in the end of the 1700s, beginning of the 1800s, he pointed out that Unishalma parim sifasenu, it's not a mistake that we refer to our tefillah sometimes as an animal. He says, so often you look around and you see that people just go through the motion of tefillah without any feeling, without any passion. You're just so callous when you daven. You're so cold, and it's so inhumane, the act of trying to become close with the Ribono Shel Olam. Says the same thing. You whip your animal, and you ask the animal, I want you to, you know, you instruct the animal to walk in a row, or to bring you somewhere, or you're traveling to a certain place, so the horse goes, or the animal just goes, and it doesn't think about what it's doing. As long as you keep hitting it, it's just going to keep walking. When you tell it's time to stop, it will stop. When you tell it's time to go, it will go. Said Rabbi Tzila Balazhner, unfortunately, sometimes tefillah turns into that. We know that we have very particular instructions of exactly how we're supposed to daven every day. So he says, sometimes, unfortunately, we do it like a par. Sometimes we do it like an animal, where wake up in the morning, I go to shul, I throw on my talis, I put on my tefillin, I open the siddur, I daven, I say Shemona Esrei, close the siddur, I go home. And then it goes from Mincha and Maariv, the same thing. And he says, unfortunately, we do it not because we feel any sense of kirva, not because we feel any sense of closeness, of camaraderie, but because this is what I have to do, this is what God expects of me, and we don't really put any sensitive feelings into the tefillah that we're offering. And he made a comment also as well once. He said he was once in a shul, and he saw that somebody was davening very quickly, and he couldn't understand, how is the person saying the word so fast? So he called the person over to his home afterward. He started telling him, do you understand all of the kavanos and tefillah? Do you understand how meaningful an experience it's supposed to be? So the man said, yes. So he said, if that's the case, why are you davening so quickly? How do you say the word so fast? So the man responded to him, he said, look, Unishalma parim sifasenu. As we know, when you're traveling on a horse and buggy, which they used to do back then, he says, when you're traveling on a horse and buggy, if you go too slowly, if you're traveling at a pace that's at your leisure time, he says, you're going to have a lot of unwanted baggage that's going to join you on the caravan. He said, you're going to have a bunch of thieves, you're going to have a bunch of bandits, a bunch of kidnappers are going to join you on the back of the wagon. He said, I'm afraid that if I daven slowly, a bunch of things are going to come along the way. My mind is going to start wandering here, and someone's going to distract me over there. So I'd rather do it quickly so that this way I don't have all these problems along the way. So Rabbi Tzila Balazhner said to him, it's very nice, and it's true, but he said, if the wagon is going too quickly, the Baal HaGala himself can't even get on. He said, the one who's supposed to lead the wagon won't even have the chance to step up to the wagon before it starts going without him. He said, you're going so fast, you can't even keep up with yourself. So obviously, Rabbi Tzilav Alozhiner pointed out that as much as we joke about it, as much as we say Neshama Parmas Vaseinu, we'll play on the words, but he said we should recognize the opportunity that we have, that every day when we daven, that is considered in some way the substitute for karbanos, at a time when we have no Beis HaMikdash, at a time when we don't have the opportunity to offer the karbanos themselves in the Beis HaMikdash, we still have the opportunity to relate to the Ribono Shel Olam and to connect with him through the tefillahs that we offer every single day, when we do it with sincerity, when we do it with a passion and a feeling, and the Ribono Shel Olam understands that this is a relationship that we're interested in investing in with him.